Well, good morning, everyone. It is fantastic to be gathered together this morning, and it's always great to have our children in with us, isn't it? I love the fact that one of the kids felt, you know, comfortable enough to bring his lightsaber to church this morning. I mean, how cool is that? It's good. Before we hop into our message this morning, I just wanted to say something about our sizzling summer Sundays. There's some good news and some bad news with our summer of sizzling Sundays. I'll give you the bad news first. And the bad news is that Tom Randall, after I spoke him up last week and told you to put it in your diary and all that, he is unable to be with us because he had a mild stroke a couple of weeks ago. So the doctors wouldn't let him fly. And so that's our bad news. If you could continue to pray for his recovery, he's doing really well. But so he's not coming. But the really good news is that you get to hear David twice. Okay, David Stanford is... David is going to be on twice through summer. I mean, how cool is that? And the other really cool thing is we've got Keith Farmer who's going to be joining us on the 8th. So we've extended our summer of sizzling Sundays to the 8th of February. Also, I'm wondering, did you know that we have a creative planning team who meet every single week on a Monday morning and we plan out and we try to resource and creatively develop our services every single week? And the purpose of that is so that, you know, we don't just get a message, we actually get visual, we get the arts, we get, you know, dance, we get drama. And I want you to honour our CPT this morning. It's the acronym for Creative Planning Team. And I also want to just get, if I could just embarrass them, Dave McPherson, Dave Stanford's on the team, Tam Jones is on the team, Maddie is on the team, our worship pastor. Also, there's someone over here, Rebecca Jones. Where are you, Beck? She's gone somewhere. Oh, she's out there. And I think that's us. Did I miss anyone? Can we just give them a huge clap? They help with the theming. You know, Beck does wonderful stuff with the graphic design, this sort of thing. Would you agree? It's good, hey? Real good. So I wanted to honour my CPT team this morning. Well, today is our last Sunday. Our last Sunday in our current series that is Christmas Unwrapped. Don't know who used this last, but they're a bit short. I'm going to get that up a bit. And that's probably too high now. Perfect. 2 weeks ago, we heard from the chippy, Joseph, didn't we? And last week, we heard from one of the wise men, and that was excellent. And during the week, I heard somebody, I won't name them, somebody said to me, well, we're expecting Mary this week. And I kind of thought to myself, that will not be pretty. And I'm, you know, especially with this beard, and I don't think that that was going to work out too well. But anyway, we've got a message that we'd like to share with you this morning. And before we do that, I think we should pray. Let's pray. God, I just want to thank you for a great morning. A great morning together with our children, being focused on and celebrating the birth of Jesus. I pray that as we open your word, I pray that you would continue to speak to each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. So today is Christmas Unwrapped through your eyes. Through your eyes. Through my eyes. You know, Christmas is such a wonderful time of the year. Would you agree? It's really special. The excitement, the build-up, the decorations, the carols, the gift-giving and receiving, holidays, and let's not forget all the amazing food that we are blessed with and get to eat. It's also an excellent opportunity for us to focus on and celebrate the birth of Jesus with our family, with our friends, with our church family. I absolutely love this time of the year. You know, growing up, and I've got a few little pictures here to share with you today. Growing up, there's my sisters. See, they've got, who remembers a Cabbage Patch doll? You know, and both of them there with their Cabbage Patch dolls. The best part of Christmas, especially when I was young, is the receiving of the gifts. You know, we used to love receiving gifts. There's some other pictures here. There's us on one Christmas morning getting stuck into our presents. And that is an actual Fair Dinkum, real Polaroid. That's not a graphically designed Polaroid. That's a real thing. I remember as a child snooping for our presents, you know, trying to find where they're all sort of hidden. I also remember getting up super early, you know, just ridiculous, still dark kind of early, and, you know, putting our heads around the corner to see if we can see our presents. And I wanted to show you this because there's my retro chopper, retro vintage chopper bicycle. You know, kind of like those, you know, used to hang off it like that. Oh, they were the coolest. And one of the things that I remember as a child was being able to get out onto the road and it'd be like a ghost town. You know, can you identify with that? Just no cars on the road whatsoever. So you could get on your, you know, your chopper retro bike and you could get your remote control car out there and there'd be no cars at all. The streets were deserted. I loved Christmas as a child. But for me, it was all about what, you know, kind of what I was going to receive. And as I've grown a bit older and have had kids, I'm certainly, you know, my perspective on Christmas has kind of changed. This day and age, I get way more excited about what I can give. I get a real thrill at finding that special gift, you know, that gift that's in your price range, because we all have price ranges, and finding that special gift in the right price range and thinking, I get a real buzz out of it, just going, yeah, they're going to love this. And then for the next week, I think, man, I just want to give it to you now, and I've got to wait until I see you. And I just love that that part of Christmas now, just being able to give. I think it's such a buzz. And also, as I've grown a bit older and have had children, I've become more aware of what I call the dark side of Christmas. You know, it's the commercialism. You know, it's been commercialised and it's become about all the stuff. I hope that makes sense. Instead of holy, 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 it's now ho, ho, ho and shop, shop, shop. You know, notice how the ho, ho and the hop and the... Yep. I thought you'd like that. Have you ever sat down with your kids this time of the year and watched Saturday Disney? You know, I kind of haven't really sat down, but it's on in the morning on a Saturdays, and it's interesting. You know, it's just all about buy, buy, buy. You know, buy this gift and you'll be happy and fulfilled, and then they put some cartoons, you know, just dispersed in between all of those adverts, and I got thinking, you know, they're conditioning our kids. Aren't they? Conditioning our kids to be consumers. They're conditioning our kids to want, 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 buy, buy, buy. And is it any wonder that when, you know, Christmas Day comes along and they haven't got what they wanted, they get disappointed and they go, oh man, bummer. I know I certainly did that when I was a child. I remember a couple of years ago, we'd just finished our big Christmas lunch with my family. We do my family for lunch and Leanne's family for dinner. And it was about 3 o'clock. We had to move on to the next party. We've got a big car, a station wagon. And I remember this particular Christmas, probably 3 Christmases ago, and I was stuffing all this stuff into the back of my station wagon. And my car's big, and I couldn't fit it all in. And I remember standing back thinking, man, look at all this stuff. Wondering how long some of this stuff would last, because often most of it is just plastic garbage. And thinking all the money that had been spent on all of these gifts. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'll say some stuff in a minute on the other side of it. But something happened in my spirit. And I just went, man, I'm not sure whether I'm really comfortable with this. And I know that many of us, we have this tension this time of the year, don't we? This tension, we live in it, we live with it. This tension to consume, but also this tension to be, you know what, it's a great time of the year. And we're blessed and we're going to receive gifts and it's a wonderful time of the year. I wrestle with some of that. And some of that is really quite tough. And the interesting thing is, I couldn't fit all of our stuff in. I had to close the door, and we had to leave stuff at my parents' house, and I had to go back on Boxing Day to pick the rest of it up. It's a tension, isn't it? But I guess the good thing about the tension is that it gives us an opportunity to wrestle and to talk with each other about it. And it also provides us as parents the opportunity to teach our children that it is way more important to give than it is to receive. So that's kind of, you know, that's Christmas through my eyes at this stage and where I'm up to in my world. And what I want to do is invite up a couple of friends this morning. I'd like to invite up Barb Mellor. I'd like to invite Pom up, Pommeline Ducotnes, and also Malcolm. And these guys are going to come up and they're going to share with us Christmas unwrapped through their eyes. So, got a seat. Can we give them a hand as they come up? Well done, sweetheart. You're good to go there. Thank you for being available this morning just to share your hearts and your perspective. And I've prepared a few questions for the guys. And the first one is for you, Barb. Barb, there's a picture up here. Did you actually jump out of a plane and skydived?
Yeah.
And how old were you when you did that?
I was 75.
That deserves a clap, doesn't it?
I was attached to somebody else.
Oh, yeah, well, that's usually how it happens, doesn't it?
I wasn't by myself.
No, still, maximum respect, Barb. The first thing is, Barb, why don't you just share a little bit of your heart and how you see Christmas from where you are
right
today,
now.
Right now, yep.
Well, I've had a few Christmases under my belt, quite a few. Yep. And they've been different. And like you were saying, Christmases change. We look for different things as we get older. And I guess I had all the excitement of looking towards presents, although in my family there weren't too many. But as the years have gone on, like you, I have found that the joy is not in the receiving, it's in the giving. And like you, I've got a few presents packed away for Thursday. And I can't wait to give them because I know my family will love them. So it's a different thing. But all the way through, it's this, what Christmas is all about to me, especially now, are two words, comfort and joy. And there's an old carol that we don't ever sing these days, God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Yeah. Remember Christmas, Jesus was born on Christmas Day. And the last words are comfort and joy, and I thought, that's where I am. I don't want the excitement, I've had enough over the years. But joy, you can't get enough of joy.
Yeah.
Nothing. Amen. Not enough of joy.
Amen.
And that's what Christmas to me is all about.
Wonderful.
Emmanuel, yeah. God with us.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Fantastic. Well, Barb, for those of us who have the privilege of journeying with you, we obviously this year you lost your husband of
63 years
63
married,
years.
2 years engaged, that makes 65.
Yeah.
And I did know him before I got engaged to him. So that... So that makes another couple. So it's a long time to share your life with someone.
Absolutely.
And yes, it's going to be different this year. But quite frankly, and some of you might be a bit shocked if I say this, but really I'm rather envious of Harry. He's where I want to be. And I will be one day
Absolutely.
With him.
Amen.
And I'm just a little envious. So I'm not trying to hurry God. I know he's, you know...
in control.
But, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So that's wonderful, you know, just a beautiful insight into kind of how you're feeling. Is there anything else that, you know, you might be able to say to people as a bit of an encouragement who, you know, for some people this time of the year is really a really tough time?
Yes, I understand that. tragedies that have happened around this time, and the memories are there. And they've got to be dealt with, though.
Yeah.
They've got to learn to deal with them.
Yeah.
Mm. No, I don't think that's about it.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you, Barb.
G'day.
Now, I want to go to Malcolm. We'll give you guys all a huge clap in a minute. But Malcolm, mate, you're sort of around the 40 years old kind of mark. You're a male, quintessential Australian male. You know, professional in your field of expertise. And I'm just wondering, mate, from your perspective, how do you see Christmas? How do you see, you know, this baby that we celebrate this time of the year? You know, it's a bit out there. Give us some of your thoughts.
For me, this is a good time of year to have a couple of weeks off and get away down south with the family and just recharge and connect with some friends. It's really good.
Yeah.
I think, though, thinking about Christmas, it's really just remembering God's wonderful act of love towards us in giving us Jesus. And we always focus on the story of the birth, but the underlying meaning was, you know, absolutely God giving his very best for us in Jesus, and that's the main thing I focus on.
Yeah, fantastic, mate. That's great. I'm wondering, Pom, you're, this wonderful young lady has just graduated from year 12, right? So you're heading to university next year, which is exciting. And we've had the privilege of just working with her. She gave up, I think, about 2 weeks of her time to come into the office and serve, and she did an outstanding job. And so, Pom, I would love you just to share Unwrap Christmas for you and how you see it.
Okay, well, for me, Christmas is white. It has to be snowing. But if it's not, Christmas is mainly about sharing the love with my family, mainly with my family.
Yeah.
But on the 24th at night, we play games, we watch movies about Jesus. It's just about how we share what all the love that we have that we don't always show during the whole of the year.
Yeah.
We do it during that night. It's a very special night.
Yeah.
It's my favorite night, actually.
Yeah, awesome.
And it's not really about the presents that we give or that we receive. It's more about each of us having a special thought for the other, just sharing, just like Jesus, God did when he shared his son. He gave his son for us on that night.
Yeah. So it's a special, special time for you and for your family. I'm wondering, could you leave us with a prayer or a dream for what you would like to see this Christmas? Would you be able to do that for us? What would you like to see? What's your dream? What's your prayer as the nation of Australia, as your family and friends head towards Christmas in the next few days?
Okay, for me, my dream and in a way my prayer would be that people would be reconciled, that they would know that all of the hatred, all of the nasty things that we do, because we do them, we're humans, that for one night that would stop and that we would just share the love that we have for each other as family, friends, acquaintance, just human beings, and that we would just share the love together of Jesus and of God for us.
How good's that? It's good, isn't it? Can we thank my friends this morning? Thank you, guys. Thanks, Greta. I'll help you get down. Thanks, guys.
Welcome.
You want to stay up? We were super keen for you to hear from other people this morning, and I just want to thank Barb, Pom, and Malcolm. You know, that's not an easy thing to do, and so thank you for sharing your heart with us this Christmas, and thank you for sharing unwrapping Christmas through your eyes. Now, with the small amount of time that we have left, I want to just leave with you a few quick thoughts around a famous passage of Scripture. It's a famous passage of Scripture that's especially around this time of the year. It's Isaiah 9, verses 6 through to 7. And if you have your Bibles, I'd love you to open it with us. And we're going to be reading from the Message this morning. And I'm wondering whether we can do it together. So I'll just read along and you can follow along with me. That would be awesome. So if we could do that out loud. It's Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7. For a child has been born for us. The gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. His ruling authority will grow, and there will be no limits to the wholeness he brings. He'll rule from the historic David throne over that promised kingdom. He'll put that kingdom on a firm footing and keep it going with fair dealing and right living, beginning now and lasting always. The zeal of God of the angel armies will do this. We'll do all this. I don't know where the all went on my page. Awesome. That's the word of the Lord, church. It's an incredible, incredible word. But first, just a couple of thoughts, some context. In the first verse of Isaiah 1, the book of Isaiah states that Isaiah prophesied during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, all of them kings of Judah. That's Isaiah 1:1. Isaiah's reign was for 52 years in the middle of the 8th century BC. And Isaiah must have begun his ministry a few years before Uzziah's death, probably in the 740s BC. And Isaiah lived until the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign, who died in 698 BC. This means that Isaiah must have prophesied for roughly, if you do the sums, and sorry if I've lost you there with the numbers, but he could have prophesied for around 64 years. All that to say that Isaiah prophesied those words that we just all read together. He prophesied them roughly 700 years before the actual fulfillment of the prophecy when Christ was born. Now let that number settle in your spirit a bit. It was uttered, it was proclaimed, it was prophesied 700 years, roughly 700 years before it was fulfilled with the birth of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that is incredible. That is incredible. It's an incredible prophecy about the birth of Jesus, about the Messiah, about his role, it's about his names, and it's also about what he would bring to earth and what he would bring to humanity. You know, I've read this passage many times. I've sung the words of this passage many times. I've heard it read to me many, many times. But last week during the service, Tam read these words out for us as she led worship. And something happened in my spirit. It hit me like a ton of bricks. And two little words that stuck out. Two little words that make this prophecy very, very special for us today. And these two simple, small words are the words for us. For us. Can you turn to the person next to you and just say, for us. For us. The Son was born for us. And you know, the cool thing about these two simple words is they change this passage from just words on a page or on a screen behind us. They change the words to a prophecy that is powerfully personal for us. The great truths of this passage are good alone, you know, some fantastic words there. But without the two simple words for us, they struggle to move from our head. They would struggle to move from our head down into our hearts. You see, Isaiah tells us that this child, this son, was born and given for who? for us. What he is in the verse, he is for us. He came for us, for our benefit, for me, for you, for us. You know, he's not just an amazing counselor. He's our amazing counselor. He's not just some far off removed deity. He is our strong. He is our strong and mighty God. He's not just someone else's father. He's our eternal, everlasting father. He's not just peace in an abstract kind of hippie kind of feely way. He's our Prince of Peace. He's our Prince of Wholeness. Do you get what I'm trying to say? This baby, this Son of God was born for us. Two things to finish. Firstly, you need to know that the baby we celebrate this time of the year, every single year around this time, you need to know he came for you. He came for you. And he came for your benefit and he came for your salvation. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." He came for us. He came for our benefit. He came for our salvation. I pray, and we prayed all this week, we prayed the beginning of the services, we prayed that you, if you don't, that you would believe and that you would know that he came for you this Christmas. Secondly, it's one thing to know that he came for you, but it's another thing to really know that he came for you. And it's another thing for you to really know him, to have a relationship with him. And if you really want to know him and you want to really experience the benefits of following him and getting to know him and his kingdom, you need to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. John 1:12, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, says, "Yet to all who received him and to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." Can I encourage you to really unwrap Christmas this year by receiving the gift of Jesus this Christmas? Wondering whether we could just maybe bow our heads and close our eyes in a moment of silence. We're pretty committed to making sure that we give you a bit of space, you know, especially this time of the year. A little bit of space just to reflect. A little bit of silence to reflect and respond. I wonder how you see Christmas. And I wonder, have you really unwrapped Christmas for yourself? Holy Spirit, just speak. Speak now. Speak in this moment of silence. Jesus. I pray that you will have the courage to respond to this amazingly powerful personal prophecy. And as we move into our week, this week, I want to just leave you with a few encouragements. And the first one is, you know, Christmas is a great time for us to bless, isn't it? We have been so blessed. So church, can I encourage you to be super generous this Christmas? The second thing that I want to say is, church, would you be open to bless others by sharing your lives with them, with other people? Sharing your family, sharing your home, sharing your food, sharing your Christmas. Maybe with those who are less fortunate than we. And I want to say that if you don't have anywhere for Christmas this year and you're in this room right now, I know that this is probably a huge ask, but email the church. Email the church, let us know. We have people who would love to have you share Christmas with them this Christmas. Also, if you know of somebody who's looking for something to do, email us so that we can make a phone call. Or email us if you're like, you know what, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me and we are happy to have people come and share our Christmas lunch or our Christmas dinner. So church, would you be open to that? And also, please don't forget carols. Please don't forget to share carols with your family and your friends. And I just want to say, don't underestimate the power of a personal invite. Sometimes we make all these assumptions about how a person is going to respond to an invitation. Can I encourage us to be a church who is courageous and who doesn't care what response we're going to get, because we cannot underestimate the power of a personal invitation. And for many of us who are in this room today, it's because someone had the guts to invite us to something where the gospel was presented. Is that okay? And then to finish with, can I encourage you to pray? Can I encourage you to pray? Outside we have a prayer wall. We haven't mentioned it yet this Christmas, but there's a prayer wall there. Can I encourage you to go there, write a personal prayer, hang it up on the wall, and we will be praying for it. As I go past, we pray for something that we read on there. Let's pray this Christmas. Let's pray for people who are doing it tough this Christmas. Let's pray for whatever God places on our hearts. Now, I'm just going to pray and we'll finish up. God, I just want to thank you so much. I want to thank you for sending your Son to us and for us. I pray for those of us who are here this morning who aren't following you or haven't received you as their personal Lord and Saviour. I pray that by your Spirit you would speak to them and continue to knock at the door of their heart until they let you in. I also want to pray for every follower in this room. My prayer is that you would help us to bless others generously this Christmas. And Lord, help us to be on the lookout for those who may not have much, and to pray for and stand with those who need your comfort and peace at this time of the year. I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, church, Merry Christmas. And I look forward to spending Christmas Eve with you at the carols. So God bless.